Corrie Ten Boom once said, "If God sends us on strong paths, He will provide strong shoes." Welcome back for another week with us on A Servant's Heartbeat. For today, we're talking about endurance. And a quote from Corrie Ten Boom gets us started. If you don't know much about her, it is worth looking it up. So Corrie Ten Boom once said, "If God sends us on strong paths, we are provided strong shoes." Now, I can read that or hear that and think in my mind, what is a strong path? And where in the world do I find these strong shoes? Well, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. And I think just maybe that this may fall under a strong path category. So in Deuteronomy 29:5, the Lord tells Israel, "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot." So if God sends us on strong paths, we are provided strong shoes. If we look back toward the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, this thought or this idea is reinforced. Deuteronomy 2:7 says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." He knows you are walking through this great wilderness. He knows you're walking a strong path. He knows it's been 40 years. And let's make it personal, y'all. Maybe your strong path has been 10 years, 1 year, a month, or even a day. However long and strong the path for you has been, God's been right there. And I know, because I've thought this too. Maybe you're thinking, "I know God says He's there. I know He says He's been here this whole time. But where? Where is He?" Well, I feel like Job kind of came to that place too and had a similar question. Job says in 23:8-12, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right, that I cannot see Him." But we get to verse 10, and it's almost like these questions are going, where is God? What is He doing? But then he begins to realize something in verse 10. "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Verse 10 says, "He knoweth the way that I take." In Deuteronomy 2:7, it says, "He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness." In other words, I may not be able to pinpoint where or what God is doing along this journey, along this strong path. But one thing I do know, He knows. Sometimes when I'm praying, that's all I can say. Lord, You know, and that's enough for me. Lord, You know, and that's enough for me. Matthew 6:32 reinforces this idea again. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth," He knows, "that ye have need of all these things. But here's what I want you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So going back to Deuteronomy, Moses is giving a little recap of their journey. We are reflecting on our walk with God thus far. And he kind of gives us a time stamp of where we are in this 40-year journey. So in Deuteronomy 2 and 14, it says, "And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. So we know that they were in the wilderness for 40. And here we have kind of like this time stamp of here we are at year 38. So 38 years. Up to this point, the children of Israel have been through a lot. I mean, looking back over the last 38 years, there were a lot of lessons learned. Some repeat lessons, some repeat of the repeat lessons. Death and loss of loved ones have happened. Temptations have gone on, and nations have come against them. There were times and moments where the Lord wanted to prove them. But in the midst of all of that, the Lord was with them, and they lacked nothing. By year 38, and possibly even by year 1, I reckon they were thinking, I'm ready for Canaan. I mean, God promised us this. I'm ready for home. I'm ready for rest. This has been a long journey. Mom, Dad, are we there yet? You know, during these past 38 years, I imagine that there were struggles with doubt, fear, unbelief. Is this really going to happen? Is heaven really at the end of all of this? Maybe there was strife. You know, there was that one person you couldn't get along with that whole time while you were in the wilderness. The list goes on and on of things that they endured. Strong paths that they were on. Thinking back as we're on year 38, if I can put it this way, they were in their last mile, so to speak. 2 more years. Could they stay the course? 2 more years. Could they continue in faith a little while longer? Well, we know the answer for them, but what about you and me? This world is definitely not my home. It's a wilderness full of strong paths. Whether we've been walking with the Lord for 1 month, 1 year, 38 years, or 100 years, this world is a wilderness full of strong paths. And just like the children of Israel struggled, we too have our own struggles along the way. But God has never left us. He's provided strong shoes. He's provided what we need to endure till the end. So if I can put it this way, me and you are in year 38. We're almost home, but we gotta endure until the end. It would have done Israel no good to make it to year 38 and let up, get relaxed, take it easy, or quit. To endure means to stay under or to stay with something, to remain, to bear trials, to persevere, to undergo hardships, or to hold out, all of which make up strong paths. But remember, God provides strong shoes. There is something that is so special about getting into the Word of God. It's alive. It's relevant. These verses that we are about to to read remind me of how much the Lord longs for us to cleave to His Word, to get in His book daily, and to make this personal. So when the question comes, how do I endure? How do I keep going? How do I continue on this strong path? Well, it's my hope that as we go through these verses, that you find encouragement and some strength in how to endure with the Lord. We're on strong paths, but God is providing strong shoes. So to get us started, we're going to go to Mark 4 and 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. So in other words, we're hearing some things. It's being taught to us. It's being preached. And on the surface, this sounds good, y'all. But if it has no root, well, verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In other words, one minute they're glad. The next minute they're offended because there was no root. No root means no endurance. Along this journey, again, we're going to hear things preached, taught, we're going to read it, and it's going to sound good. But if I don't apply it, if I don't let this truth begin to take root in me, I'm only going to be able to endure for a time and not until the end. Afflictions. Just saying that word kind of makes you want to go ouch, because you know it's something that doesn't feel good. Paul, in verse 8 of chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians, begins to say, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it would depart from me, whatever the affliction, whatever the infirmity. God, you know, I want this to go away. I want it to depart from me. In verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So let's stop and talk about grace for just a second. Our pastor has preached a message about a teacher named Grace. The grace of God can teach us things that can't be learned any other way. I learn things in the valley that I can't learn on the mountaintop. So in my moments of affliction, in my moments of weakness, grace is there to teach me. Grace is there to teach me how to endure. Grace teaches me how to learn to lean on God. It's in these moments that I can be reminded that it's not about my little muscles, but it's about giving Him glory. Sometimes in our afflictions, we can feel like all we have is the ashes, mourning, and heaviness. But it's through enduring those times that I and others around me can see God begin to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those that were once weak with afflictions, that verse continues to say, that they might be called trees of righteousness. There's a root, y'all. Talk about getting a root in something. You know, his grace that is sufficient will teach me to become more than just another tumbleweed in the wind when affliction comes. During the time of affliction, sufficient grace teaches me to get those roots a little deeper. And all of this is so that he may be glorified. If I can get past that, yes, I'm going through a hard time. Yes, these afflictions are heavy. But if I can learn to give God glory in the midst of all of that, the things that he does behind the scenes just amazes me. Romans 8 and 18, Paul says, "For I reckon," I wonder if Paul was from the South. No. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Imagine that there is this huge balance. And on one side, we put our affliction, the hurt, the sickness, the battle, whatever it is that we are afflicted with. And with just our affliction on the scale, it looks heavy. This looks hard. This looks like a lot to endure. But now, let's put that eternal weight of glory on the other side of that scale. There's no comparison. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If I can get a hold of that verse, if I can embrace that, it makes it a little easier for me to endure, knowing that I've got something that way outweighs what I'm going through right now in this moment. Another thing that the word says that we are to endure is hardness. And nobody wants to endure that, right? So 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Skipping down in that same chapter, if we look at verse 10, he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Sometimes we go through and endure hard things. In my hard times personally, I've had people tell me, "Kristen, you're strong." And in my mind, I'm thinking, I feel so weak. And hearing that, hearing somebody say you're strong should be encouraging, right? But if I'm honest, and maybe you have felt this way too, I've had moments where someone said, "You're handling this okay. You're being strong." But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, "Lord, I'm tired. This is a lot. I don't know that I can continue to be strong. I just want the battle to go away. This is hard." Well, in one of those times of my life where it was just hard, I heard a story that I probably cannot recall all the details, but I think I can get across enough to make the point about hardness. So there was a rabbi who was invited to be a guest of this prominent man in town. And several others were also invited, and they were having a feast. And during this feast, it was custom for this particular pot of stew to be served to all the guests. So the time came, everybody's seated, the stew is getting ready to come out, and a little maid carries this pot of stew and sets it by the rabbi first. So he takes the serving spoon and he adds a little of this stew to his plate to taste it. Now, the normal custom would be to take a little bit and then pass the pot and the spoon to the next person, you know, so that everybody at the table can enjoy this particular dish. But that didn't happen. The rabbi tasted the stew, and then he took more and more and more until little by little he had finished the entire pot, leaving nothing for the other guest at the table. And the guests, you know, rightfully so, are dumbfounded because this isn't proper. This isn't right. What does he think he's doing? The rabbi didn't even acknowledge the looks of, you know, being puzzled or disgruntled from the other guest or the host at the table. He simply looked at this little maid and said, "Is there any more?" And the maid brought out the rest of the stew. And the rabbi finished that off too, to the very last drop. Well, when he had finished, he decided to excuse himself from the table. He didn't stay for the main course of the meal. He finished off this pot of stew and then leaves. He gets in his chariot, and the driver of his chariot is taking him down the road, wherever they're going. And the driver of the chariot can see this rabbi is visibly sick. Something is wrong. And the rabbi tells the driver to stop so he can pull over. And the rabbi begins to throw up. I mean, you know, maybe he ate too much. And the driver looks at the rabbi and says, "What happened in there?" The rabbi explained that by mistake, that little maid of the household flavored the stew with kerosene instead of vinegar. The rabbi said, "I could smell it. I could taste it. I took it all and let the guests think whatever they wanted of me, all so that that little maid would not lose her reputation." As a good soldier for Christ, sometimes we endure the hardness of drinking the kerosene. At times we are presented with difficult situations or circumstances in life, and we know somebody is going to have to take care of this situation. Somebody is going to have to bear this load. Somebody is going to have to endure the hardness of drinking the kerosene, or lives of those around me could be negatively affected. I'm definitely not saying that it's easy. I know it's not. But just because the guests at the table don't realize the hardness that you are enduring doesn't mean that God is not fully aware of your hardness and of your sacrifice for the kingdom. Whatever path the Lord has given you to walk, if it's a strong path, if it's a hard path, we said this at the beginning. Sometimes I just say in prayer, "Lord, you know, and that's enough for me." He knows. Let's talk about temptation. The Bible talks about enduring temptation. So in James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." We all have that temptation that comes knocking consistently, you know, trying to get us to give in on something. Battling a temptation continually can be very frustrating, and it can be very tiring. But I think that we can find some encouragement in this. So still in James chapter 1, go into verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." We trip up and we fall at times. The key is don't stay down. We recently just finished a revival with Brother Bryant, and he gave an amazing illustration that addresses just this. He talked about bouncing right back after falling, or when the enemy knocks you down. When I was a kid, I had one of those inflatable punching bag things. It like had a picture of a character on the front, a clown, whatever. And you would fill the bottom of this inflatable thing with sand or water. And then once it was full, you would go to town and you're punching that thing. And with every punch that inflatable clown took, it would pop right back up. And that's how we should be when it comes to enduring temptation. Those attacks, those hits are going to come, and we may very well fall here and there, but pop right back up. Verse 3 continues, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, you keep letting patience continue the work in you. And the discipline of endurance, the discipline of enduring that temptation, maybe is a better way to put that, begins to work on your desires. When a spiritual discipline carries over into my heart's desire, some things begin to happen. Those things that I used to want, those things that I used to crave after and used to have me just addicted to it, those things that I felt like I needed, I begin to lose a taste and desire and longing for those things. And my taste and desire begin to be for the things of God, that perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Bible also talks about enduring the cross. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus, my Lord, the author and finisher of my faith, endured the cross. And he tells us in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the midst of enduring that temptation that we just talked about, I am going to need to find myself an altar, a place where I talk to the Lord about what I'm struggling with, a place where I repent and seek the Lord for forgiveness and mercy, and make that commitment to do the best I can to follow him, to turn from serving self and serve him. This place, this altar, is not just for when I fall, but I need it daily. I need it daily. Easter Sunday is upon us, and the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection will no doubt be talked about all over the world. Jesus endured the cross. That death on the cross helps me understand what it means to take up my cross daily and follow him. On that cross, our Lord was crucified. Daily, my flesh must be crucified. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. Galatians 2:20 begins with, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 5:22, right after it, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 24, it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. My flesh will become as strong, as stubborn, and as willful as I allow it to be without dying daily, without being crucified with Christ, without crucifying my flesh. We know that enduring the cross was painful for the Lord. But there was a joy that was set before him. And we too have that joy that's set before us. Romans 4 and 17 talks about how the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, 13 tells us, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just joy, but hope. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. My hope is beyond this. Enduring the cross goes beyond this. Something else is set before me. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. This word's alive, y'all. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We talked about enduring affliction earlier, and I think this leads us to a very important point of how much I need the Holy Ghost. Man, that plays such an important role, such a vital role in what it takes to endure. Jesus's death is a type and shadow of our repentance, taking up the cross and following him. His burial is a type and shadow of baptism. We are buried with him in baptism. And the resurrection is a type and shadow of us receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Our focus for this devotion has been on endurance. But what are we enduring all of this for? This isn't for this life only. There's a hope beyond all this. And I can begin to find that hope the more I begin to understand his plan of salvation for me. We have some episodes coming that will dive deeper into the plan of salvation. So I will leave it at that. But I can't make it without the Holy Ghost. I have hope in his plan for me. To wrap this up, the Bible also tells us to endure unto the end. Matthew 24, 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is the passion behind our podcast. As a servant of the Lord, my heart's desire is to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will have to endure some trials. I will have to endure some hard times along this journey. This enduring isn't about this life only. I have a hope beyond this. If the Lord sends us on strong paths, he will also provide strong shoes.